Welcome to News Burp, the show that trawls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and him across the internet there is Adam.
Hello, can you hear me?
And this is we can hear you.
Good.
We can hear you.
Good.
Loud and clear. Delighted to be here. Now, shut the fuck up so I can do the rest of the intro. Now.
I'm sorry.
It's not even that you interrupted. It's just that I've so much to try and focus on that if you know, like I'm at any moment in the show, I'm likely to go squirrel. So you know, I need less distractions.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh
god. And today we have stories about an estate agent gets into trouble, and I'm perfectly okay with that. A man has dodgy surgery in a cabin in the woods, and what happened next will scare the bollocks off you. And a sheriff TripAdvisors his own cell.
And I have ghost orgasms, and a guy who is stuck in the 90s and is loving it.
Yeah, and we've also got good news. And then, of course, we'll be going on to do our Patreon, which is patreon.com/newsburp. You can get in there and get the videos, because we're doing videos. Look at the fancy videos we're doing.
It's got all the bits there.
It's got all the stuff. Our first daily burp went up today. Happy the way it came out. What's the first one? It can only get better.
It can only get better. It's good. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a bit ranty. I have my first comment on the video calling me a socialist tit.
You definitely come across that way.
I definitely do come across that way, don't I?
So you're constrained for the budget and just saying we should all have the same amount of money, pretty much. Give us more money, you pack of bastards.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was just saying, you know, some people need the benefits and some people need the help. And it's like if you take carers and people with disabilities,
yes,
you know, like take people like me out of the equation, right? Look at like carers and disability people, mm-hmm, who rely on these benefits. To say to them, yeah, we know things are hard and things are struggling, everything's going up, here's a fiver a week.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Is bullshit. So, you know, take me out of the equation. Well, I think that, you know, you have to look after the vulnerable in society, and we're not doing that.
I totally agree. They should, once you reach a certain age, you shouldn't have to worry about anything.
No. That's what society's. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose it is socialist. I suppose it is. You know, but you know, fuck it. First one went up. it'll be going up. We'll do one every day, Monday to Thursday, and then I can do nothing on Friday, and then I can do nothing on Saturday, and then I can do nothing on Sunday because I'm lazy. You know, true to socialism, I'm lazy, but I just want everything given to me. You know,
brilliant.
Yeah. How's your week been? How are you doing?
Look, I'm organising me events, me Halloween and me Christmas events. And Halloween, I think, is pretty much sorted. I think the set is going in this week.
Yeah.
Rehearsals for that will be next week, and you're part of that. Can't wait for that.
I can tell you, I've done lots of research for my character.
I have eaten straw, and that is a bad start.
I'm gonna be a scarecrow, and then I get to be Santa for Christmas. That's good. You know, I can't wait. I can't wait for the things the company gives me to say to the kids on my knee when they go, "Can you bring back my dead puppy?"
I can't believe I'm probably gonna have to address those kind of things.
You are going to have to address those things. If for no, like, I'm sure the other Santas are like career Santas. This is what they do. They're probably retired, and every Christmas they play Santa.
Yeah.
So they're fairly seasoned. You know, I've done it once or twice. You know, and whenever that question comes up, I shove them off my knee and kick them out of grotto with a lucky bag. Right, so I'm guessing that this particular company is not going to appreciate that. So yeah, you're going to want to have to brief me on how to deal with shits.
You're going to say, when it comes to anyone who's dead, I'm guessing the line is, they're in a better place, but they're looking down on you.
But Santa, all I want for Christmas is for them to be here, not looking down on me.
How about a lucky bag? There's the door.
Yeah. There we go.
Dad, you want to join in here? No,
I'm done. He's right. Not coming back. Have a lucky bag. Have an extra lucky bag, you know, and whatever else. Just go away and don't be harassing me.
Ask a fucking, what's his name? Nobby the Elf there. He'll help you out. Go on.
Nobby the Elf.
Please don't call Navi Elf. Any other name. Jesus Christ, any other name. Hey, Clostosaurus the Elf. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You want a dinosaur? Like a Tyrannosaurus or a Clostosaurus? A what? Hey, hot mummy.
Superfluous nipples. Right. Well, we're going to do a show. Will we do some weekly weird updates?
Please.
Right then, let's do this then.
News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Still weekly wise update.
I know, I saw it. I went, we'll do it on the weekend. I'm gonna have to remind myself, I'll write a note to myself.
Well, you see, usually, you know, I give you a bit of slack on this, and we're like, you know, it's fine because you've lots to do, but now I'm doing it all, so hurry the fuck up and fix that graphic.
I know. I really had the weekend. I was like, yeah, grand, scratch yourself.
Well, you see, I don't want you to do it on your weekend because your weekend is your time, and I don't want you to do it on your days off because that's your time, you know, with your family. Don't you in the evenings because that. But I don't care when you do it; just fucking do it, right?
You said every other time that I'm not working, do it during work. That's not gonna go down well.
Look, they don't have to know about it. You know, you can be look. Do here's what you do: you do a new weekly weird update graphic, right, and then you do the exact same graphic for work, just change the words. So then when you're caught, you'd be like, no, look, I was doing it for you. See? Here's your graphic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they'll appreciate that at all. Like, what the fuck are you doing a graphic for? You're crazy.
Yeah, just look, try it out. See how you get on. Right? And if anything's said, all you have to say is, Matt told me to do it.
Great. That's the two of us at a gig. Great.
does everyone not have the same non-consequences I have to my actions? No.
you just hand it off to Adam. I think it's Adam. What? I wasn't even there. What are you talking about? Murder? Fuck, you did you, man? I did. I killed someone. Yeah, I did it.
Okay, first story.
Okay.
So, you ready for this?
Yes.
Here we go. Stick that up there. Let's have a read of this. So, missing apostrophe in Facebook post lands a real estate agent in legal hot water. So, what's the story with this, do you think?
I'm guessing an apostrophe.
An apostrophe, yeah, is the thing that's going on here. So, let's have a read of it. Right. So, court declines to dismiss defamation case against Anthony Zdravich. Anthony, foreign name, who said failure to punctuate social media post was trivial. So let's read the story. A real estate's failure to use an apostrophe in a Facebook post could prove costly after New South Wales court declined to dismiss a defamation case against him on the basis that it was trivial. Late in 22nd October last year, Anthony, foreign name, posted that another real estate agent was selling multi-million dollar homes in Pearl Beach but can't pay his employees superannuation. Shame on you, Stuart. 2 years and still waiting to post red. There is a suggestion the realtor meant to have an apostrophe after the word employee and was only referring to his experience. This is, it's trying to get away with shit on a technicality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I was in court. You know, there are not stories like that. Huh? It's like when I was in court and the judge called out my case number and my name, and I tried to say, actually, that's not me because my name is not spelled correctly on the court summons. And instead of ending up on a whimsical news podcast, I was told to shut the fuck up and sit down.
It's kind of, that's your fucking picture, isn't it? Yes, Judge. Yeah, you shut your foot. We know who the fuck you are. Okay, shut up. Yes, Judge. I'm terribly sorry. I just love the idea of you standing up and going, well, excuse me, sir. You'll call me Judge, Your Honor. Yes, sorry, Judge. That's, I think, but that's not me. There's a U in my name, and that doesn't have a U in it. So eat a bag of dicks. Sit the fuck down, Matt McGurk. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you see, the thing was that I was there for a traffic thing, right? So it wasn't like majorly serious, but it was serious enough to land me in court. You know, yeah. That's why I was in court, right? But
did he kill the guy?
Only partially killed him.
He died on the way to the hospital. I was like, ah.
Oh, he was very dead before the hospital, but I only partially was responsible. So I had to get a barrister because I wasn't going to go to court on my own. I wasn't one of those people, you know. So I got myself a suit, and I got myself a barrister, and I went to court.
Very good.
So when I saw the person before me get off on the technicality that his name was spelled incorrectly, I said, let me have a look at the summons. And sure enough, my name was spelled incorrectly. Both parts of my name were spelled incorrectly.
Jesus Christ.
So I said to the barrister, you better get me off on the same technicality. And he was chicken shit. And he was like, no, I can't say that to the judge. I'm like, he's not doing it. And that scrow over there with no suit and no barristers after getting off just by saying it himself. And he was like, I strongly recommend you don't. I was like, why? He got away with it. He was like, the person before me had been driving. He was disqualified from driving, so he had no license and no anything, no legal right to be on the road whatsoever.
Right.
And he stood up and he said, that's not my name. Let's say his name was Clark. And he said, I don't put a knee on the end of mine. There's a knee on the end of that. That's not me. And the judge was like, well, okay, technicality, get out of here. But don't be in court for the same thing, whether it's your name or not, right? So I was like, just fucking happy days.
I was just going to be
in and out there. And you know what? And then I got really cocky, because then I said to myself, well, if he can stand up and do that himself, then I can do it myself, and then I don't have to pay this barrister prick because he wouldn't have done his job.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So case was called out, and I said to the barrister, you're going to say it? And he was like, no, don't say it. Let me do the talking. I'm like, your talking is going to cost me 600 quid for you, and then whatever he lands me with a fine, or, you know, he was sending people to jail as well that morning. I was like, I'm going to jail for this shit.
God, I don't know if I can wait in the room. I know you have to, but I'm like, I don't want to go in the room. Just call me. I'll be outside. I won't go anywhere. Just please don't let me sit down and sit myself. I will literally just go. Yeah.
And you see, it was also because the guard who had brought these charges against me had brought doubled up all the charges, right? So when I say the guy before me had no legal right to be on the road, neither did I. That's what I was in court for, right? So I had no license, no anything, right? Now, I was parked outside the local corner shop, and when I came back out from the shop, having bought milk, the guard was standing there taking my details, and I'm like,
no, please.
Brilliant. So, of course, I did the whole thing of, yeah, I have all the documentation. It's just not on the car where it should be. And then he was like, right, well, you've got 10 days to produce it, and then everything goes away. So I went home and I shit myself. And then I went down to the guard station. I walked down to the guard station, and he was still out on his beat. And I went in and was like, listen, this is after happening. I'm about to tell him I have the stuff. I don't have the stuff. So maybe this is going to, you know, I'm just going to fess up, and hopefully it doesn't cause anybody lots of time and lots of effort and, you know,
it's money.
Can we handle this now before going to court kind of thing? And the guard that was talking to the station was like, I'm sure, listen, I'll call him up from the thing. I'm sure he'll be fine about it. And then he came up. Sweaty fat fucker he was as well. Had to walk up the hill to the guard station, and he was sweatier and fattier than I am. So he walks in, he's all huffy and puffy and red faced, and he goes, so you haven't got anything? I was like, no, I don't have anything. I freaked out when I saw you at the car. So here I am. I got home, I realized I shouldn't be fucking lying to you. So here I am. Let's sort this out. He looked me square in the eye and he said, thanks for coming up. I appreciate the honesty. Go and get yourself sorted out. Proved, you know, go and get your license, get your tax, get whatever else, and we'll say no more about it. But if I pull you over again, I'm gonna have to, you know, do what I have to do.
Yeah.
So I thanked him profusely, was like, no problem, I'll go. And I did. I went and I got my license and I got my thing and I got everything legally. That car didn't leave the driveway until everything was legal. And about 6 months after I'd passed my test, and this was about 9 months after the whole thing.
Yeah.
I get 12 court summons in my letterbox.
Jesus.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So I went down to the garage station, like, what's all this about? And they said, oh, you were pulled over and you hadn't got, or you were seen at a car and you hadn't got your license, blah, blah. And I said, well, I know that. Help me hands with that. And I come down and I saw him and he said, get yourself sorted out and it'll be fine. And I was able to prove that, you know, weeks after that I had gotten past my full license and I got everything and I even back paid tax and did everything.
Yeah.
So they found a guard and he came out to me and he went, yeah, well, see in court.
Oh.
I was like, oh, you fucking dick. So that fat fucker was up on the stand opposite me, right? And he brought me up on 12 summonses, right? So he had doubled up everything. So he said I had no tax. So I had no tax on the car and failure to produce tax. And then he did that with everything. So no NCT, failure to produce NCT. Uh-huh. No insurance, failure to produce insurance. No license, failure to produce license. There was like one of the wing, it was really old car. Somebody just gave me this car and went, here, learn to drive in it. So like one of the mirrors was like hanging off the side. It was like on road worthiness, but that was the same as having an NCT. He gave me 12 summons, but basically were 6 offenses doubled up.
Jesus.
So I'm sitting there crossing this smug Garda and my barrister who won't do the fucking job that I'm paying him to do. So the judge looks at me and he goes, why have you got to save yourself? And I said, well, actually, that's not my name on the summons.
It's like, if you're not saying it, I'm saying it.
But the judge freaked out because he's like, he couldn't have said that 5 minutes ago when I called out your name, when I called out the case number. He couldn't have said it then. I was like, my barrister told me not to. And he said, you should listen to your barrister. And I was like, but they fell out before me.
That's a real kid in school with the headmaster, isn't it? And because the first kick on where you're like, right, well, I'm on the same thing. It's like, sir. And you know, the teacher's just like, he's out. He's like, you know, that judge is just pissed off that your man got let off on a technicality. The same thing, the exact same thing is happening. And he's going, yeah. No, this is not fucking happening. I will not make a mockery in my courtroom. It's like, McGurk.
That's exactly what it was like. So he looked at me and he said, before I instruct your barrister to instruct you to be quiet, I'm going to instruct you to be quiet. And I was like, all right.
Oh, God.
So, but then in fairness to him, he went through the 12 summons and he said, why have you got 12? And he copped on to what the story was, which was everything was doubled up. And he looked at the guard and he said, why have you charged him with failure to produce when he went to the Garda station and told you he hadn't got it? So how can he produce something he hasn't got? And the guard was like, yeah, but, and it was, and George was like, no, I'm going to strike out half of these summonses. So I was like, oh, well, I will shut up now, Judge. Thanks very much. You do your job. You're doing a bang-up job there. So he said, well, you can't get tax without insurance and you can't get insurance without a license. So I'm going to strike out those three as well. And I was like, oh, sweet. Cheers. But then he did me for, he said, you can't have NCT if you can't do blah, blah, blah. So he was going light on me, but he had to do something. So he charged me with no insurance. He convicted me of no insurance and no license. And so I got a fine of €600 and 11 penalty points.
Jesus, what's the point?
What's the maximum number of points you can have on a license, Adam?
Is it 12?
It's 12. So I left that courthouse with something that was, up until that day, sparkly clean driver's license. And I'd only had it for 3 months. I was so proud. I failed the theory test 4 times. I passed the practical first time round. And then I got 11 penalty points.
God. Jesus. Oh, fucking hell, man. Why is it always you?
I don't know.
You've never long bottle in my life. You don't get that because you haven't seen Harry Potter, but you are no. Longbottom, whose phrase is, why is it always me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, all I'm saying is that, you know, since I've been living with Fiona, she's firsthand seeing how unfortunate I am.
You're going to kick you out in like 2 months. or she's going to just wrap you in like bubble wrap and go, there, I've got to work. Don't move. I'm 18. Don't you fucking win.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I told you about the postal thing that was happening last week where I wasn't getting my post.
Yep.
Still not getting post. Still not getting post.
You know, it's weird. I'm the type of person that goes, it'll get sorted. And it in the end, it kind of does.
but every time I say it'll be grand, it's not.
I know. It's like, I trust the universe and the universe goes, you know what? It will be fine, Adam. Matt goes, man, the universe is crazy, but man, I'm riding that wave. And just goes, let's shit on him.
And I don't even be doing things to like, well, most of the time I don't even be provoking it. You know?
Yeah.
I say most of the time. Sometimes I invite it, you know?
Yeah.
Like the thing about the court, that's on me. I shouldn't have had the car out. That's on me. Yeah. But it's the wisdom of age and experience tells you that, and the court case tells you that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Should we get new glasses as well? This is just a little aside, because with these glasses, they're a few years old and they're all scuffed and scratched, so you know it's kind of getting annoying to look out through them now. So 2 weeks ago, I had an eye test.
Yeah.
There's no change in the prescription, so that's all fine. Happy days.
Lovely.
Good time, yeah. But my optician asked me, why are you wearing varifocals? And I said, because the last place said I needed varifocals. Now, these lenses have different focals to the center, through each side, and on the bottom. So it's not just like your granny's varifocals that she puts on the bottom of her nose and reads the fucking newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, if I look through different parts of the glasses, I can see things in different focus.
That is fucking mental.
Mental, right? But it's great. It is good for reading. I don't have to do that. I can just be kind of, you know, I don't have to move my head to look around. You know what I mean? So it's good. He said, you don't need varifocals. He said, but now you have to have them because your eyes have become so used to them. I'm like,
God's
what?
Sake.
Like, what do you mean? And he said, where did you get them? I said, Specsavers. He said, yeah, they work on bonuses over there. I was like, fuck, motherfuckers. I was like, they fucked up my sight. He was like, I wouldn't say that, but if I give you regular glasses, you're going to come back in a month later and be like, I can't see through these. So he's like, you know, he said, if you have a regular pair, wear them for a month or two. Maybe, you know, you'll adapt to them and then come in. We'll give you single lens things. But if you want new glasses, we'll just get the new glasses. It's not going to, it hasn't damaged your sight. It's not going to affect you. Your prescription hasn't changed. So he said, it's just one of those things. Just, you know, if you don't want something, speak up that you don't want it. I was like, I don't want varifocals. He was like, no, now you have to have them. So got the thing done, got the prescription done, went out to pick the glasses. You know, you stand there like a pleb and you put them on, you look in the mirror and you go, ooh, maybe I look a little bit different, but you don't because they're always with the same frames.
Yeah.
Right. Except here's the thing. None of the frames fit my fat head. Not a single one of them.
Because I'm notorious for having a fat head.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know eventually I probably will need glasses. So I'm just like, I'm going to go and go, do you just have kind of wraparounds, like skiing goggles, please?
I'm not above wearing two monocles. I'll be very honest with you.
Come on, that's class.
But I didn't know. I obviously knew that the glass frames came in different sizes, but I didn't know the measurements of glasses or how they measured them, right? I just go in, and if they fit kind of well in the shop, they can be adjusted. They can be fit to you. But I didn't know that, like, different sizes. So apparently I'm a size 56. Now, I don't know if that's centimeters or inches or fucking penguins, Adam. I just know it's a 56. Yet the largest size glass frames that they have in their shop is a 52.
In Specsavers or in this other place?
This local place here where I am.
Okay.
And they came highly recommended, which meant that, of course, I was going to have a shit experience when I walked in. You know, which is the point of this story, right? So she says, oh, we don't have anything here that is going to that size. And I'm like, right, well, surely I'm not the only one in the world with a fat head. So, like, can we get bigger glasses, or do I have to take my prescription and go back to Specsavers where they're going to make me have a hearing test as well, you know, which I don't want.
Just the phrase fat head, I just found. I know of a fat head, sort of a massive head. That's all I hear. If I had, I was going to go.
So she went to, oh, by the way, before we'd even found out that my head was too fat for the glasses, she went, so I came out at the optician's and she was like, okay, let's get some frames. I went straight for the most expensive end of the rack.
Of course.
And I was like, back it up there. I'll have the medical card frames. I'll have the ones that are basically fucking pipe cleaners with lenses in them. That's the ones I'll have. I don't care. I don't need the expensive glasses or frames. Like, it's the lenses that's important. The frames doesn't bother me. And she got really offended. I was like, and then because I made the whole hissy fit about the prices and then the fact that she hadn't got sizes in, she said, well, let's have a look at the supplier's website. Let's go on the fucking supplier's website to see what sizes they did. Right. So they went on. So Caterpillar, you know the clothing and fucking machinery brand, the designer labeled Cat.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently they do fat head glasses. So she ordered in two different frames.
Come on, I see that as the size. I've got two fat heads and a 52. It's like, but you're a fat head. Yeah, I got two fat heads. Oh, yeah, sure. Jeez, what frames? There's only like four different frames.
Oh, yeah. So that was 2 weeks ago, and she said, I'll have them in tomorrow. I went in today and they still weren't there. So everyone that keeps telling me to go back to these opticians that they're fantastic and glowing reviews, it's just, you know, all I have to do is just even fathom experiencing the same things that other people experience, and it's just all falls to shit. You know, yeah. It took us 15 minutes to get around to that from a story about an estate agent and an apostrophe.
It was a great story.
But still, I like my sub headline there. What a catastrophe, because it's the apostrophe and it's a catastrophe. See that?
Nailed it. Huh? Absolutely nailed it, son.
I tell you, if you like that one, strap in. They're only going to get better from here on in.
Next story.
Arrested cabin cannibal jailed for botched. Oh, fucking hell, Adam. There's so much going on. Jailed
for botched castration of man he met online.
There we go. Oh, there's just so much happening.
What a castration catastrophe. What a catastrophe.
Yeah. Look, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You know. A married look, castration just catastrophe
catastrophe.
Oh, the huge manatee.
Here we go. Ah, oh, brilliant. That's a joke from years ago.
Accused cabin cannibal jailed for botched castration of man he met online. Here we go. A married couple arrested after a victim went to hospital bleeding from amateur surgery. Look at those two, and look at how happy one of them is.
I'm guessing he still has his bollocks.
I'm guessing he's so delighted that he's in jail. Because, like, no, who's going to fuck with him in prison? No one. He literally will cut your bollocks off.
He looks like Scary Santa.
He does look like Scary Santa, doesn't he?
He's like, I'll be fucking Santa. He's like, what's in your sack? Your balls.
Oh, well, there's nothing in the other fella's sack anyway. An Oklahoma man who castrated a volunteer at a cabin in the woods and bragged he intended to eat the testicles has been jailed.
Fucking
hell. Oh, Bob Lee Allen. That was a Lee at the end. 54 performed the operation on a man he met online, who later told police that his body parts were stored in a freezer and that Alan joked he was going to dine on them.
Fuck. Oh.
First of all, freezer's the best place for any kind of body part.
Why not?
Well, it keeps them fresh. You know, you can also foil seal them for freshness, just like, a bag of Tato.
But if you had a choice, but surely the guy thinks it's meat. You can freeze meat.
Yeah. Are you saying
it is a good place to put meat?
Oh, it, oh yeah. No, that's why I said, yeah, it's the best place.
It's not a good place to.
Oh, no. Sorry. It's the best place. It's the only place for a body part. Because even if you wrap it up like really tight in like cling film.
Yes.
Right. And then you put it in like one of those really airtight lunch boxes that you can then vacuum seal with a little kitchen gadget.
Yeah.
And then even if you wrap it up in more cling film.
Yeah.
And then if you put that inside one of those airtight lunchboxes that you can seal with a kitchen gadget, but it's slightly bigger than the one before it.
Yeah.
So you've got like a lunchbox Russian doll body part situation going on.
Yeah.
At some point, it's still going to smell.
I guess so, yeah.
And I know that for certain because I watched an episode of Mythbusters where they buried a dead pig underneath concrete and it still stank.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God. I remember it.
Yeah. And also, when we were working in that Spanish restaurant all them years ago, there was a French couple, I don't know if you remember them. They were like student backpackers and they stopped in Dublin for 6 weeks. And of course, we get them a job because we give anybody jobs. Mm-hmm. And they brought with them, like, I don't know if it's called Stinking Bishop, but I think it was called a French name. So I don't think it was Stinking Bishop, but it was like, I think it's like the second or third stinkiest cheese in the world, right? This thing was wrapped, like, it was mummified. And you could still smell the cheese before you could see these people coming.
Oh, no. No. They brought it for lunch, like.
Well, they brought it because, you know, people have been talking about it and they were like, oh, well, we actually have some of that in our apartment. Because they were French. They'd come. Yeah. But, like, that's just the stuff stank. And that was, and I say that was wrapped up, that was stored as this cheese was supposed to be stored. And it still stank. So no matter how you store a body, it's going to smell.
Yeah.
Unless you stick it in the freezer.
All right.
You know. Yeah. I haven't got much experience in this area, but, you know, I have almost killed a person before. So I've done a little bit of research.
Okay.
Alan had been set to go on trial for the bizarre incident later this week, but reached a plea deal with prosecutors and will serve 12 years behind bars. He was arrested by police when the 28-year-old volunteer who had flown to Oklahoma from Virginia went to hospital because he was bleeding from the amateur surgery. Of course he was.
Well, you didn't. Did you nick a vein? Yeah, the fucking main vein, actually. Oh, the aorta. No, Nelson.
No.
The main external. No. You know the one.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that spurts.
Oh, God, Jesus.
I mean, somebody sent me a video before. I think it was, of course, it was probably Paddy. You know, sent me a video of somebody being castrated.
What the fuck?
Like, they're lying on the bed. One of these crazy internet nuts. They're lying on the bed and they were considered, though, because they put a towel under their arse before they laid on the bed, right? But they're naked on the bed and this dude just walks over and he's got gloves on because, you know, gotta be hygienic.
Yeah.
And he grabs your man's by the nuts and he just saws. Just starts sawing it off.
No. You don't saw, not like with a fucking bread knife. You don't do that. If you got it's like cheese wire or something.
Oh no, I think I'd have to saw it over the cheese wire.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. If it's a gun or a because it's you know, it's gelatinous, it's not like it's solid wood, it's just like it's just
gold. I don't know. I mean, you know, you might have to have a word with somebody, Adam, but you know, mine is fucking, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, then you're sick, son. You're sick. If it is when that thing is happening to you, you're a sick puppy.
I don't know, I don't necessarily agree. Some people might end up with some splinters, but you know, c'est la vie.
Saying you've seen your cock actually wood.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
George Washington
mm-hmm.
down there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's a splint.
Fucking hell. Oh God.
He also pleaded no contest to two misdemeanor counts and was sentenced to 2 years in jail and 10 years in prison. So which prison is the serious one, isn't it? Because jail is like the local one.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Or is it the other way around? I think prison is the long-term one.
Long-term jail is...
It's like short sentences. Okay. Yeah. His husband, Thomas Evans Gates III, most people from the South always have Lee at the end of their name or there's like a second or the third after them and an Esquire. Like, what the fuck is going on?
They all have the same name. The parents can't think of other names. So it's like... I'm named after my papa's papa. Oh, yeah. Yep. Nope.
Investigators were told by the victim that Allen claimed he had been performing gender reassignment surgeries for 15 years and had six clients ready to go under the knife. This man is mental.
That's fucking nuts. That is fucking nuts. That's bollocks.
I mean, I know I joke about not being a full-time surgeonologist, you know.
Yeah. But
really, I mean, you're sensible enough that if I said to you, Adam, I think you need an operation, and I'm the man for it. you'd have a couple of questions at the very least.
Yeah.
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 I don't think you'd be so rude as to outright refuse, you know, but I think you'd do some research first.
Yeah, look, you're my friend. Mm-hmm. I like you. But I think my first question would be, where's your surgery again?
My house.
Brilliant. That's a red flag. So
got a lovely worktop here. You know, we'll run some debt all over it before you lie down.
Yeah, more red flags. You're throwing red flags out there.
That's what it was like when I got my vasectomy.
No, you went to a surgery.
That's what everybody thinks. I went to a converted fucking townhouse and lay on somebody's couch.
What the fuck?
That's what happened. Big old converted townhouse, like a big old doctor surgery. You know, one of those big old townhouses in the posh areas.
Yes.
And, you know, it's converted, so there was a reception when you went in. Like, the front room was now the reception, you know. Yes. And the kitchen was still the kitchen because they got to make their tea, you know.
Yes.
And one of the other, the original sitting room was the waiting room. And what was kind of a downstairs bedroom or a utility room was the surgery. And I had to get up onto a bed, which was far more resemblant of a couch.
Dude.
And had my stuff rewired.
Where was this?
Baldbridge.
Oh, the irony.
Oh, yeah. But looking back, I was like, is there not supposed to be like, you know, medical equipment?
Just, you know, what are you doing there? Not any gardening gloves. Okay. Oh, okie dokes.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Jesus, I don't.
In fairness, I didn't raise too many red flags because I was just excited about the prospect of not having kids, you know.
Okay, it's a nice thought.
You know, so anyway, this crazy dude, where we go? After the surgery was over, Alan said that he was going to consume the parts and laughed and said that he was a cannibal. That's not something you want to hear of somebody who has botched your operation. Not only are you fucked, but I'm going to eat what I took off you.
Yeah, he's Tony. I'm fucking bleeding here, man.
It's just so. This I brought the story up because I want to ask you a question.
Oh my god, go on.
What surgery would you let me perform on you if it was entirely necessary? Me and you, a desert island, Tom Hanks and Wilson style. It's only two of us, but you need a life-saving operation, and all I have is an ice skate and some videotapes.
I think we did this question before, and I think I said, you can do any operation. Like, any operation that I needed, I said you could do it, because if it's either that or die, of course, you can do whatever you want to help. But if you're holding a skate, an ice skate, and we're just walking through, and you just turn to me and go, "So, Adam, do you want your bollocks or what?" That's me red flagging and trying to kill you with the ice skate.
Yeah, but I think what you actually said was that you'd rather die instead of risking having me operate on you and then you living and then having some horrible consequences from the operation I'd done.
I think that was if it was just normal situation, if we weren't close to a hospital.
Hmm.
But if it was a live or die situation, yeah, I'm gonna turn to you and go, yeah, you're gonna have to do something or I'm gonna die.
Okay.
But if I can see a hospital and you come near me, I will use every ounce of strength to strangle you out.
Well, in fairness, that's the normal reaction to have. You know, if that's the story, that's the story. I mean, I'm still slightly offended by the last time you said that you wouldn't let me operate on you.
But you just wanted to stick something in me, and not your penis. I mean, like a sharp bladey thing. Not your penis.
No, that's a wooden thing we've established.
Blades can be wooden.
Can they?
I don't know. Can they?
I don't know.
It's not a postcard.
I don't know. Pretty sure where I got my vasectomy done, they just used fucking twigs anyway. So, you know, fuck to the mark.
That's right.
Next story.
Please.
Convicted sheriff gives thumbs up review of a jail he ran. This is, I was.
This is funny.
Well, I kind of skipped over this story, but then I went back to it because I read another story earlier on about Dunn Stores, which is the supermarket chain here in Ireland. They have a few spots around Europe as well, but mainly here in Ireland, and they're known for treating their staff terribly. Like they're actually known for it, right? And they have nothing but contempt for customers. And when I actually worked for a company that supplied them, they had nothing but contempt for their suppliers as well. It's just a really horrible organization, but. You know, customers love them. So, you know, must be doing something right. But on job sites, employers or employees can leave reviews of their past employers or their current employers.
Yes.
So it's like if you're being headhunted or if you're sending your CV off, you can research the company and other employees will be like, here's some red flags or this isn't great, but, you know, the other benefits kind of outweigh it, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this review went up with Dunn Stores and I love working for Dunn Stores. The management treat the staff so well. They're always looking out for us, and I can't believe I'm so lucky I work for Dunn Stores. And that was supposed to be like a serious review, and everyone on Reddit's like, "Nah, that's bollocks." It's the same when a restaurant opens up and they tell all the staff, "Will you put a review on TripAdvisor for us?"
Yeah, get your friend to put a review up on TripAdvisor, but they haven't been. What you fucking told?
Yeah. So. But it's even funnier here because the sheriff ended up in his own jail. A long-time Alabama sheriff removed from office after being convicted of theft and ethics violations is giving 5-star reviews to the jail where he spent more than 2 weeks in custody. Perhaps he should. He ran for decades. There's no. He looks like, and I know it's very easy to hear a headline, see a headline, and then see the picture of the person and go, yeah, he looks like that. But he looks like the kind of person who's going to be convicted of theft and ethics violations.
Do you think?
You know what I mean? I think he'd be like he'd be arresting a prostitute on the street, and then he'd go, "Well, I can let you off if you get me off." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, maybe that.
He looks at that kind of you know. Ousted Limestone County Sheriff Mike Blakely addressed the news media on Tuesday in his most extensive public comments since being convicted in August. Free on bond while appealing, Blakely maintained his innocence but had no complaints about doing time in Limestone County Jail in Athens. Best jail in the state of Alabama, he said. That's another thing I'm proud of. The food was real good. The staff took very good care of me.
Jeez, the fucking hotel he was in.
No, Blakely, 70. Should he be working when he's 70? Not because of an age thing, but like, is there not like a thing where, you know, like forced retirement in certain jobs? Obviously not if you're a sheriff in Alabama.
I guess, yeah, I guess he's just at a desk. He just kind of runs the show.
Well, let's find out. Was convicted in August of taking no interest loans from a Limestone County jail fund that held prisoners' monies and of stealing $4,000 from his campaign account. He was in his 10th straight term at the time of his removal from office, making him Alabama's longest serving sheriff at the time. So running uncontested, always being elected, money going missing. Yeah, he sounds like a stand-up dude.
He's pretty much Alabama Mafia.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of like that policeman, that guard that we had me in court for like frivolous charges. No, they were proper charges. Well, 6 of them were. But like I always wonder about these like small town things. Like, look, he just has the look of somebody who's like, I can do what I want.
Yeah,
and even when he's convicted of it, and he was in custody for it, and he's been sentenced and all that kind of, he still comes out and goes, no, I'm still the dog's bollocks. you know. And not only are my wet dog's bollocks, but the place I ran is amazing. You should try staying there sometime.
It's like, I don't know what all the fuss is about. One grand.
Oh, Jesus.
Food's good. Staff are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why it's good? Because I made it good.
Yeah. It was me. It was all me. I did it. It's like, I worked for a restaurant, and they used to, like, the manager that was working under at the time used to take such personal glee in a positive review. And always ignored the fact that we would get negative reviews when he worked. But, you know, a positive review was like, oh, I could look at all the work I've done. This is amazing. Look. My restaurant, my team, me. Yeah, but actually a restaurant review came in and it mentioned you by name and all this bad stuff about you. Ah, that's just a grumpy customer. Don't mind them.
I think I know who that is.
Yeah. Well, look, it could be any restaurant manager that wasn't me.
Yeah, true. But I think I know who that was.
Yeah. Anyone listening knows this, you know who it was as well.
Yeah, I think I know who it was.
Yeah.
I did not like
him. All right, here's another question for you.
Yep.
You know, there's no point we have, like, I wanted to ask this question of you, but I know the answer would be never. You know, because you're a stand-up guy.
Why ask?
You know, because you have morals,
yes,
ethics, principles, so, and scruples, and all those fantastic words. You got them all, right? So, knowing that, I'll ask the question differently.
Okay.
How long do you think it would take me to go from being elected sheriff in Alabama to ending up like this dude? Like, in fairness, he's 70 and he's ran 10 terms. I don't know how long a term is, but let's say it's 5 years. So, you know, no, because he's 50. Because then that'd be 50 years. So what's the term? Term is like...
Let's go 10, 3 years. Maybe 3 years.
3 years. Yeah, 3 years is probably a thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So he has 30 years on the 30 years as sheriff. You know, probably another 10 on the force before that.
Yeah.
And he rose up to steal money and have terrible ethics and refuse to accept punishment. I think it'll take me about 7 weeks.
No. I think it'll take you longer because you'd learn the system and you'd see what.
Yeah, but
I don't think you'd learn
I'd learn enough to put me on my way.
I think you'd probably test the waters within 7 weeks. If you knowing this story, I think you'd test the waters, but I think you'd be a lot more cautious than this guy. I think this guy got to a certain age and went, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, probably. But it's like it's small time corruption because he's in a small town. So it's like it's $4,000 gone from his election campaign. And if he's running unopposed, what does he need an election campaign for anyway?
Because he still has to run.
Yeah, but like if he's running unopposed, all he has to do is turn up on the day and have his vote counted.
Yeah, but he still has to have the posters, the badges, because people will want to know, hey, you're running again, Sheriff? And if he shows enthusiasm and want for the job, it just confirms that he'll get it.
Oh, bless. Look, see, that's why I didn't ask you the same question, because like, there you are with your optimism and your rosy view in the world, and I'm going, that Sheriff had that population around his finger and probably terrorized so that nobody would dare run against him.
Okay, well, then it's from the outside looking in. If you arrive in the town and you're going, yeah. Oh, here, like, having elections for the Sheriff, and if everyone in the place is like, they're going, yeah, God, I wonder who it'll be. But the guy we've had for the last 8 years, he's really good. Yeah, we really like him. He's good. He's fine. We're just going to vote for him. What about this guy? No. Who knows him? Isn't he the baker's son? Isn't he like really nice? No. All of a sudden, that girl is gone.
Yeah. And you know what? His wife was probably the school vice principal. And fucking mistress is probably the local fucking
librarian.
Yeah, some shit. Probably had fucking 16 kids all running around the place.
Yeah, his wife is like the headmistress, and his mistress is like the pastor's wife.
Oh, dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty. You're right. You're writing porn there, is what you're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on there. Oh, your father. I brought the handcuff for the wife. Please don't burn down my church, son. You shut your
punish mouth. Me, daddy. I've been a bad girl. No, no, it's bless me, father, for I have sinned.
Put on the devil horns. Give me some of that fucking wine in the back, will you, you dirty fuck.
Yeah. Over here, we'll have ourselves a good old Alabama blood orgy.
Are you, pastor, still touching children that I'm ignoring? Fuck off and give me that wine.
Yeah, see, as you fucking know, that's happening as well. What to do with the world, Adam? How? What to do with the world at all?
Well, I was going to say burn it, but it's doing that itself, so...
It's pretty much doing that itself, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's imploding.
It is imploding all over the shop. Next story?
Yeah, it's me, is it?
Yeah.
So a woman who has spine-tingling orgasms with ghosts is worried it might kill her. So a woman who fell in love with a ghost because her spine-tingling orgasm says she's worried her phantom lover might kill her. I just kind of... What are you feeling there?
Well, look at her, right? Now, I know it's very harsh to judge somebody for the way they look, but she's trying to model herself and being like a living doll or something, and she's 36 years of age.
But she's in that gothic mindset already, isn't she?
Yeah. Now, I say let's not judge her by what she looks like. I know that in that picture that I have on the screen now, she's in the blue dress, and that looks an awful lot like a video game character from years ago. So the fact that I know the character puts me in the same kind of category as this nut job. However, I don't fuck ghosts.
True. Well, she does. Oh, is the game... what's it called? The one with the diving suit, the big diving suit.
No. Although it could be that, actually. That's very similar. I'm thinking of an Alice in Wonderland game where the character Alice looks exactly like that with the long jet black hair and the blue dress and stuff. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. So singer-songwriter... Brocard?
No, I much prefer Brocard.
38, connected with a ghost called Eduardo when he revealed himself to her during a thunderstorm one night as she struggled to sleep. Of course she's Jonesy. She says the spirit of a Victorian soldier who died prematurely at 35 after falling down a well introduced himself and has been visiting her regularly ever since. Fucking hell. So she's not after sure. I've always been fairly skeptical of the paranormal and things that can't be rationally explained.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing, like, rationally explained. Like, I know we'll probably get into how I just, how do you know you're having sex with a ghost and not just like have a vivid imagination?
Yeah.
And also, let's say you could prove that it was a ghost. Yes. How do you prove whose ghost it is? Because it could be anybody.
It sounds like they have a chance.
It could be your own dad. And he's like, no, I am Eduardo from the Victorian era of soldiers.
I'm thick enough to fall down a well. Oh, silly me.
How come all ghosts and spirits are all from, like, you know, medieval times and Victorian era? How come there's no ghosts wandering around from the 80s?
Yeah. Or, like, from caveman days.
Caveman, yeah, exactly. How come there's no dinosaur ghosts walking around the park?
Like, if you think you're gonna get raped by anyone, it's probably going to be a caveman who just goes, ooh, I don't know what to tell you about. Yeah. Just, like, popping up.
I love your fluent caveman, by the way.
Well, I was there in the past life.
Maybe you were fucking this crazy bitch.
It was, I don't remember. I was so wasted. I thought it was Eduardo from it. Oh my God.
Oh, it's all linked in.
Over the years, I've had a few ghost encounters, but I had always brushed them aside and thought nothing more of them until I met Eduardo, that is. I was lying in bed until unable to sleep. I rolled from side to side in bed, trying to switch off from both the storm and an argument I had with one of my friends. Then out of nowhere, I felt a warm sensation in my heart. It was burning hot. I think that's called heartburn. I touched my chest and it was roasting, clammy almost, and the warm sensation ran down throughout my body. Then the whole room felt cold. I sat bolt right up, had tears streaming down my face, and was shaking almost uncontrollably. Is that a panic attack?
No, I think it sounds like sex with a ghost, Adam. What are you talking about?
Oh, silly me, yeah. I couldn't see anything, so I reached for the bedside light and something grabbed my hand to stop me. I heard, I love you, whispered in my ear, and someone's breath and shuddered down my spine. That's when Eduardo first introduced himself.
Hello, I am Eduardo.
Well, Eduardo, you're freaking me out here between the thunderstorm, arguments with my friends. I've been drinking and had some drugs.
Also, I don't know if it was the person who wrote the article or Brocardi herself who spelled Eduardo. That's not how you spell Eduardo. And it certainly wouldn't have been spelled that way back in Victorian times.
I wouldn't know. How do you spell Eduardo?
Isn't it E-D-U-A-R-D-O?
That's right. That is right.
Except this is E-D-W. So it's Edward O. That's exactly it. Maybe he's Spanish, and it's the Spanish for Edward. Edward O.
There's a comfort and safety that I felt in his presence. Like, I can truly be myself, and he has really deeply touched me, she said, adding that she has so far kept the relationship private from family and friends due to his fears of being exposed. So she went on to, like, some...
No, sorry, I got to stop you there. Not fears of being exposed, fears of being exercised.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So not only is her family going to judge her for such a crazy claim, but then they would have the gall to try and help her.
Fucking hell. Although, you can see that picture there. She's just thrown up lots of cocaine. So, I'm guessing.
I did so many photo shoots with girls exactly like this during the Chunk.ie days. Where they always turn up with something quirky. They can't just walk in the door and go, how's it going? Let's take some pictures and go home. You have to come in with fucking emotional baggage and fucking stories and quirks and, you know, trying to sell your herbal life or trying to cure you with crystals. It's always some bollocks. And when you think it's a hippie chick, it's one of these goth crazy people. Stop giving them a platform. These are the people that should be deplatformed, not Trump.
The crazies.
Yeah.
Not Trump. So she says her temperamental lover sometimes communicates by making flames flicker as they candle. Does that naturally a clown? Sometimes even blowing the candle out when they're really angry. That's the wind. So as if she gets asked him to prove himself. When I try to relight it, it won't ignite. It's wet. He'll disappear. I get ghosted by a ghost. Oh, she's so 21st century. Days later, I'll notice love hearts in the steam on the shower. That and who else has seen them? Like, who else has seen them? Did you take a picture of them? No, you're too busy taking a picture of yourself in weird, crazy, gothic. You want attention. You want attention.
That whole thing of they make themselves known because candles flicker or curtain waves in a breeze that's not there. I'm like, no, I think we spoke of this before. It's like when people say, oh, it was so tragic that Vinny died, you know, so suddenly. But the other day, a piece of tissue blew off the windowsill, and there was no door open or window open. I just knew it was Vinny saying hello. No. You need fucking draft excluder on your window, right? A draft is not something you can see, like steam fingers in a fucking cartoon pie dragging you over towards the window.
Cartoon fingers. Although, when it comes to those kind of things, if it gives comfort to someone, I'll smile and nod and go, yep. Yeah,
but when
someone's using it for like sexual gain and kind of like she has an audience of kind of gothic men going, oh yeah, I'll be your ghost, I'll be your Edward O.
Just because I know exactly the kind of person she is. I know because I've worked with so many of them. I just, you know, I we shouldn't be talking about it because this is the kind of story that, well, not that we shouldn't be talking about it, but generally, like, you know, giving people more of this attention is what causes more of these stories to come out.
I know. But I don't know why I'm drawn to him. Maybe I'm that kind of way. She continued, my biggest fear is that he'll expect too much from me and kill me, so I'm a spirit too. I love being alive. So deep down, I know our romance is only fleeting. I'm just waiting for the day that he blows the candle out for good and ghosts me permanently. It goes on.
Now, I think she's preventing the real story coming out here, which is crazy goth woman murdered by spirit she was fucking. That's a story we should talk about when that happens.
But maybe she's trying to get like, this story out first. Because how would you know she was fucking the ghost if he killed her?
Well, how do we know she wasn't fucking the ghost? Because she wasn't fucking the ghost, Adam.
I don't know if she was. She has to tell this story first so that when she dies, everyone will go, oh, it was a ghost. Or she can kill herself. And just say, oh, it was a ghost. And leave all these fucking signs and messages around her room and house and just kind of go, oh, it was Edward O.
It was Edward Onus, fathead. These people just shouldn't, you know. Do you know what this is? This is one of those "and finally" stories that, like, you get like a little corner of the newspaper, like a tiny little corner down on page 12.
This is what our podcast is about: is finding these stories and kind of.
These people, like, you know, it's just they're like toddlers. The more you encourage them, the more they'll try and get away with. Because the next thing is that she's going to come back and she's going to say she was made pregnant by Edward O.
Meanwhile, Keith is in the back going, "No, we had sex. It was Edward O." Is that who's that? That's Keith, my fiance. And have you had sex relations? Yes, but he could never give me this baby. How'd you know? It's Edward O's baby. Whatevs. So Keith, what do you do? Edward sometimes I leave little love hearts in the steam, and so when it steams up, she can see it. No, that's Edward O. I'm telling you, it's Edward O.
It's not fucking Edward O. She's not fucking a ghost. It's like she saw that scene in Ghostbusters when Dan Aykroyd is getting a blowjob from the ghost.
She went, and love a bit of that.
She was like, "Ooh, look at David Attenborough's latest documentary, huh? what's going on here?"
It's like Ghostbusters is real. The camera crew followed these four lads around, and they went up to the top of the mountain, and that's it.
No. Next story. Go.
Next story is a man obsessed with the 90s lives in time capsule and uses outdated technology. Now, the story just kind of explains, I'll flick through it. So a man who's obsessed with the 90s lives in a time capsule and even uses outdated technology. Check out this pad here. It's on the video. So Jack Walters from Bakewell, Derbyshire, takes living in the past to the next level. For a while, we all feel nostalgic sometimes. How many of us actually use a TV from 1989 or VHS players or G-Reg Austin Mini Metro class? In total, Illustrated Tech has spent about £5,000, which is $6,800, on all things 90s, from telephone alarm clocks to old Nokias to IKEA catalogs and high-waisted Levi's jeans. Clearly, the guy has got quite a passion for the decade, which is all more unusual given he is only 23 and therefore wasn't even around. Oh, he's one of those people.
Oh, he's one of those. He's like, "Oh, I'm Irish because my great-great-great-granduncle was from Mayo."
But it's like, it's like when Coldplay started wearing, you know, the kind of military uniforms from like the 1800s or whatever. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm going back then." He's just going back to the 90s. I was thinking, I'm wearing vintage. But I suppose we all wore flares and we're like, "Look at it, we're cool." I was like, "We're big in the 60s and then we're going back to the 90s. And I was like, it wasn't even a cool era. Look at the state of him in his colorful jumpers.
Like, we recently watched all of Men Behaving Badly from start to finish.
Oh my God.
It's on Netflix. I fully recommend it because I still think some of the jokes you wouldn't get away with today. But it's just stupid fucking lad humor is all it is. But it is a time capsule for the 90s because you know what they had, which no bathroom still has, I don't think. This was definitely a thing in Ireland, the UK, is that every bathroom suite had to be colored either peach, pink, green. There was no white. And then, not only that, but you got like the bath sets, like the bath mat and the thing around the toilet and the thing under the sink. They all had to match as well. But not even that, Adam. Not even that. Do you remember the colored toilet paper to go along with?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Remember the pink toilet paper or green toilet paper to go along with your green bathroom suite?
I don't remember. All I remember was having is this white. But like in Dublin, Antonin's would have like the color scheme going through the toilet, and it was like you got blue toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your room is just like blue, and I thought like it was reflecting onto the white, but it's like it's blue. It's actually blue. And then my uncle's had a green theme going on. I was like, wow. And then if you didn't have colored toilet paper, you had this cover that went covered over toilet papers. It covered like three at a time. I was like, what's that about? But look at up there in his kitchen with them. Fucking mugs hanging and all the crappy that matches. Yeah. And I was like,
I know. Because, I know, and I was looking at his shoes. His shoes match his jumper. He's like pure Timmy Mallett. Look at him.
Yeah.
Or it's just more Noel Edmondson than Timmy Mallett. Look at him. Jesus Christ. And his jumper tucked into his jeans. Fantastic.
But, like, that's
I do know. I was actually thinking about getting I know. some things should be left in the '90s, like this fucking pleb. Well, I know somebody who was going to get like one of the old Nokias or like the old Motorola's and just like have it because it's a bit of kitsch, and you know, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know, and I even understand that people who you know can't or don't want to move on from a specific period of time that they like for whatever reason.
Yeah,
they might just like the simplicity of it. They might have just suited their lifestyle, or they would just become accustomed to, or institutionalized, or whatever you want to call it. But they're just like, no, this is for me. But this guy wasn't even around for the fucking 90s.
Yeah.
He's a dick. Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what he's doing? He's creeping into your woman's fucking bedroom and going, I'm Eduardo.
Dirty.
I said it was from the 90s, but I didn't say which 90s.
I think the jumper's giving him away. No.
Yeah, in fairness.
Spanish soldier, this is my uniform, eh? Oh, okay. Don't light candle. No. You'll see that I am pasty Englishman. So explaining how his devotion of the decade came about, Jack said, it started as me recreating my parents' house from when I was little with the coziness. I never really enjoyed modern decorating with all the greys. It didn't have the homey quality, and I wanted to replicate that. When we moved into this current house 2 years ago, it was super bland and white, and not much changed in the house since 95, except it had a lot of white paint and laminate floor put on. The house is a result of snooping around charity shops and eBay. I also get gifted things by people who know me. They'll see something and go, oh, Jack would enjoy that. God. And it goes on.
Yeah, it's just like stepping into my granny's house.
It is. Know? It is. Actually, I think even our house had bits of that kind of,
yeah,
some of those motifs. And colors, yeah, and things like, oh god, curtains.
Yeah, for some reason, shelves had to have plates and jugs on them, you know,
yeah,
in places where plates and jugs don't really belong most of the time. I'm not saying they can't go there, you know, but think of all the stuff you could put on those shelves apart from those jugs and that plate,
like DVDs. Although, who has DVDs anymore?
No, well, we still have a few here.
I
think they just hang there. It's like, you know, like whenever I see somebody being interviewed on the news and it's like a from home call or during the office or whatever, and I see all the books behind them, I'm like, what are you got all those books for?
Who's reading those?
You can get all the internet. You can get all the information you want off the internet. Who the fuck are you doing all those books?
Yeah. He explained that in the 90s we had enough technology to keep us entertained, but not enough to feel an overload. Now we have so many different media outlets that it can get a little overwhelming. It's nice to have an escape from that. It's an escape from the modern world. Some people go to the gym, some play video games. This is my thing.
So I suppose people have sex. Some people don't touch another person, you know.
I mean, I don't think the 90s are really dated well. So why pick the 90s?
No. I mean, there's so many things that people want to forget from the 90s, you know, like Tamagotchis.
Fuck, I never had one, thank Christ. I kind of avoided a lot of trends.
Yeah.
Life.
I never
even kind of went, oh, I'd love one. I just went, no, that's fine. Don't need that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the fashion. Harry Enfield. Do without him. In hindsight, probably could do without the likes of Ralph Harris and Bill Cosby.
Oh, shame.
You know, like a man is wearing a Cosby sweater. I don't care what it is. Like Bill Cosby invented the Cosby sweater and it was in the 90s. So there you go.
Yeah. So that's what he's like.
That's what he's like. He's like Bill Cosby. There you go. Come. Salt the case.
Yeah. Send over the Facebook warriors to Storm's house. That's it.
There we go. Is that it?
That's me.
All right then. Well, I suppose we can, that's you. Well, I suppose we can call that then, and we can probably go on and have a little bit of good news.
Yes.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Good news. I'm gonna really try, Adam. I'm gonna try and not shit on all the good news stories this week.
Okay, I don't think you can shit on mine.
I'm
sure you could. Because it's the story's all in the title, but
yeah,
1 hour.
Okay.
So an incredible lucky man escapes death after his Hulk phone case stops a bullet.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a pretty cool phone case, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, to have the Hulk. I have one ordered from Amazon that has Batman on it, but you know.
Of course you do.
Some people like the Hulks.
It's more that bullets are flying around.
Yeah.
It's like every day it's like, oh, I got hit in the leg with a bullet the other day. I was like, oh, God. The guy, his phone case stopped him. Well, good for him. Good for him. It's like, surely just phone stopped his bullet.
I mean, if it looks like an iPhone. Is it an iPhone? Or could be. Scroll down. That's a Samsung. It's a Moto, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, it is. Yeah, there it is. There. So, I don't know the brand, but it's obviously not like a name brand. You know, it's been sold in Brazil.
Yeah.
But I think it might have that toughened glass on it. It's a Motorola. It's Motorola. So it's probably got toughened glass on it. So it's got that Gorilla Glass. Now, Gorilla Glass will probably protect your phone if it drops from your pocket to the floor.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool now that it was able to stop a bullet. So take it from us at NewsBurp that bullets can't go through mobile phones.
Let's not test that thing. Don't fucking pull up inside your heart and get your friend to shoot you. A man from Brazil narrowly escaped death after a bullet shot at him was remarkably blocked by his Hulk-themed phone case. An unnamed victim was admitted to the University Hospital in the city of Petrolia in Brazilian state of that place in October. The doctor initially feared that the worst for the victim, but this all changed when he realized that the bullet hadn't actually penetrated the skin. It instead ended up just grazing his hip after his Motorola smartphone case blocked the shot, which ultimately saved his life.
I thought that said grazing his nip.
Ah.
I didn't do glasses. It wasn't until you read it, I was like, it makes more sense.
Well, Adam reads. Although the man was shaken, he only had pain in his hip area, which had only received small bruise. According to the police, the shot was fired during an attempted robbery. God, at the time of reporting, the police are yet to identify the suspects. The doctor subsequently posted photos of the damaged mobile phone. So you see, I mean, there's a good shot there of the Hulk, the full thing, the Hulk, but if you show the back of it, it would have been where the Hulk's chest area, I suppose, was, or at least the stomach. So it's like,
wow,
pretty class. The numbers for those. Brazil is said to, just going about how horrible Brazil is, but how cool the phones are made, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that isn't a good endorsement for a Motorola or a Hulk case, now I don't know what is. I wonder if my Batman case will stop ninjas.
What's it made of?
Plastic.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Plastic's pretty strong, though, isn't it? It's killing the turtles. There must be some fucking value in it.
Oh, fucking hell. Value in it? There's some value in killing turtles.
No, I don't mean value in killing turtles, but there must be something to it if it's able to kill turtles.
Yeah. Is it an Otterbox?
No, it's a turtle.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm fine. I deserve it.
Next story.
Yeah, you go ahead.
New treatment destroys head and neck cancer tumors in trial.
My God.
It's always a good news story when you're sticking it to cancer.
Absolutely.
Because it's such a terrible thing, because everyone in their life at some point is going to be affected by cancer, whether they get it themselves or whether a family member or a friend gets it. Everyone experiences, or at least witnesses, somebody experiencing cancer.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing. I mean, it's, you know, and there is still, sadly, there's still a stigma for some people who have cancer and who get cancer, that they feel as if, you know, people are going to look at them differently. And, you know, I suppose some people do, because what's associated with cancer is generally death. So like when somebody says, hey, I got cancer, it's like, ah.
Yeah.
How long?
Comes for it.
No.
It's just the ultimate is just associated with it. It's like, ah, God.
Yeah, and it's always like, well, how did the treatment go? How did the test go? It's always hopeful of for the best, obviously, but then there's always that just very below that surface of nothing but like anxiety and worry that it couldn't be good news or that might not be good news. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's always good to hear stuff like this. A new cancer treatment can wipe out tumors in terminally ill head and neck cancer patients, scientists have discovered. In a landmark trial, a cocktail of immunotherapy medications harnessed patients' immune systems to kill their own cancer cells and prompted a positive trend in survival. One patient who was expected to die 4 years ago told The Guardian of an amazing moment nurses called him weeks after he joined the study to say his tumor had completely disappeared. The 77-year-old is now cancer-free and spent last week on a cruise with his wife boning a waitress. No, I asked that last bit. but that's, I mean, look, it's fine. It sounds like a miracle cure. It sounds like a thing. I know, you know, you can't really hone in on the fact that it's only a head and neck cancer. It's cancer. You know, 77-year-old man had cancer, went into the trial, and now it's completely gone. Now, of course, the trial, there'll be more tests to be done, and there'll be all stuff that I don't understand because I'm not a full-timeologist.
Good.
As we know, you know. But I think it's always a good thing because, like I said, cancer affects lots and lots, lots, too many people than it should. And I kind of find it, like, of course, cancer by its very nature is, you know, it's a bit of a sausage.
It's a bit of a sausage
because, you know, if it could be cured, I reckon it would be cured by now, you know. And all the conspiracy nuts will say, well, it's more profitable to treat than to cure. And I'm like, no, there's too many, like, cancers are so specific to parts of the body. And then there are cancers that will spread around your body. Like, you know, you get cancer in your toe, it could end up spreading to your brain. You know what I mean? It's like there's no, and doctors are obviously doing everything they can, and there's, you know, all, but it just destroys so many people. So I love hearing about these kinds of things. So I'm not going to shit in this story because I don't think I can.
No, no, you're good. It's a step in the right direction. It's all good news.
Yeah. So there we go. That's our good news. That's our show.
That's it.
So where can people find us, Adam?
Best place to find us at www.thenewsburp.com. You find links to all our shows at the very bottom of the page. You'll find a TeePublic link, which is the show we to a place where you can get our cartoon faces, stuff across t-shirts, hoodies, bags, totes, all that kind of stuff, badges. Beside that, you'll find a PayPal link. So if you enjoy the show, you can throw us a bit of money. It's a once-off piece of money, and you can leave us alone forever and ever, but it keeps the boat afloat. And if you really like the show, you enjoy listening to us every week, and it's looking at us every week, you can go into www.patreon.com/newsburp. We'll get access to our Patreon stuff. There it is on the screen. So you can get, I'm not really sure how it works now, but it's you get the video of the show, video of the Patreon, the top five in the Florida Man, and shout-outs. And shout-outs get out too.
Shout-outs will go directly out to Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunts, and Sean Ryan, and Alexander Henry. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support. We're going on to do Patreon, and this week's top five was actually suggested to us by Patreon, Alexander Henry. So do get involved. If you're a patron, get involved. Give us suggestions. You can control the content. And, so what's happening with the tiers of Patreon now is that the first two tiers are the same for your €2. You get your mention on the show and you get that free version of the podcast. And then for the next tier up, you get all of that stuff. You get the top five audio and video, and then you get the audio of the top five. And then for the Patreon up after that, you get all that stuff, but you also get videos of everything. So it's not just the audios, you get the videos for everything. Now, you get the main show, like the show we're recording now, will be private for the week, and then it goes live on our YouTube channel the week later. So so you're getting early access to the video of the main show, but you're getting the main show ad-free, and you're getting the top five in the video and all that kind of stuff. So that's what the story is there. Newsburp.com, and do check out the YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, of course, please do subscribe, hit the notification bell, comment down below anything we said, drop us a link for a story, get involved. Let's do it. This is the and the Daily Burp is what we're doing now as well. The weekly show, Daily Show, called Daily Burp, is the weekly show. Daily Show, Daily Burp, where I kind of give some opinions on news stories and whatever tickles me fancy, really. So I'm going to do that Monday to Thursdays, and that started today. So the first one's up there today. So search for News Burp on YouTube. Please do subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you find us on YouTube and you haven't subscribed to the podcast, we'll try to do that as well. Wherever you don't get us, get over there and get us.
We're there.
That's pretty, I think we're there. That's it. Have you anything else to say?
No, that's me.
Is that you? That's me. All right. Well, I don't think I've got anything else to say either. Do you know what? I think we'll just go ahead and
just cue it up there. Cue it up.
And just cue it up there and
just press play.
End the fucking show. Yeah.